two old guys are sitting on the top row of a short stack of bleachers at a high school basketball game. They don't know each other. They never met each other. And sit there about 2 minutes, tick off of the game clock. Finally, the one old guy turns to the other old guy and he says, you know, way back in the day when I played high school ball, if I would have taken the low percentage shots all the way out in 3-point land, like these players are taking, and Miss May said, the coach would have sat my butt on the bench and that's where it would have stayed. And the other guy just kind of shook his head and said, yep, the game sure has changed. In reality, the game, it's not so much that the game changed, it's the game has evolved a little bit. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, it's great to have a new year. We have the opportunity to have a fresh start. Father, you are the King of fresh starts. You sent your Son Jesus into this world so that our sins could be forgiven, we could be reconciled to you, and that we could be made new, given a fresh start. Father, that's such a precious, precious gift to us. We pray, Father, that in our own lives we will think about the fresh start we have. But we pray also, Father, that as a congregation, we will realize that we have the opportunity to have a fresh start, at least a fresh look at what our ministry as a church is, what it ought to be, and what it can be. Father, we pray that as we consider our Vision 2030, and in particular, Vision 2025 for this year, that you'll give us hearts that want to be new, that want to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation that you have given us in ways that like never before. Father, give us a heart to love like Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. For 2025, the church here at Glen Rock has a theme. And that theme is Light the Rock. The light is obviously the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the rock is Glen Rock. We want to have a focus on the town of Glen Rock this year. That's not exclusive, but it's a focus that we have on the town of Glen Rock. We also have a tagline with our theme for this year, which I don't think we've had other years, but this helps define the theme a little bit better. The tagline is that the church may know Glen Rock and Glen Rock know the church. We have a scripture reference for this year as well. The scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 5 starts at verse 11, goes all the way down to the end of the chapter, which is actually verse 21. Now, I'll warn you ahead of time, it's not a quick clip of a scripture. It's a couple paragraphs, all right? But these are going to, this scripture is going to kind of guide us through our year for 2025. In this particular scripture, there it is. Told you, a lot of fine print. You probably won't be able to read that because it's so small. That's okay. All right. I'm not worried about that. We're going to read it together in just a minute, but I got to tell you a little bit about what's going on here. Paul's writing to the church in Corinth. And the church in Corinth, apparently what has happened is that some people on the outside and also within the church were saying very negative things about Paul's ministry, how he was conducting himself among the people at Corinth. And so he writes in chapter 5 of the second letter to the Corinthians, and he defends his ministry. And in that ministry, he's going to talk about four different truths that he used. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But I really want to take the time to read this section of scripture. So If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. If you can read it on the screen, you can. But if you just want to close your eyes and listen, that's good too. Or you can keep your eyes open. I don't care. But just listen. Listen to the text and listen to what Paul is saying to the Corinthian brother. Verse 11. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it's known also to your conscience. We're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it's for God. If we are in our right mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, his new creation, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In that passage, Paul talks about four truths, and each one of those truths is a GPS coordinate that kept Paul and his ministry on the right track. And so he offers these as his defense. And we're glad that he did, because it allows us to glean from those and say, you know what, the church at Glen Rock, we really ought to have the same points on our GPS. On the ministries we do, they ought to be geared the same direction as what Paul, through the inspiration of the Spirit here, is giving. So let's talk about those four truths just for a few minutes. First of all, out of that passage, first one that we're going to see highlighted here in blue for you is, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. There is no ministry in the church that should not be designed to persuade others about the gospel. That was the hallmark, that was the truth that Paul had with regard to his ministry. He knew that everything he did was designed to persuade others. And his motivation for that, if you look back in verse 10, it's not up on the screen, you have to look in your Bible, listen to me read it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Paul says, listen, Christians, we understand that at some point, what we do as Christians, with the talents God has given us, we're going to have to give an answer for that. If you will, think back to Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, where we have the parable of the talents, where you have the landowner going to leave. And so he calls not people from outside. He doesn't bring outside people in to run his business. He calls his servants, and he brings his servants in, three of them. And he says, you're going to run my business. Here's the talents you're going to have. And when he came back, what happened? They needed to give an account for what God had given them. Brothers and sisters, Paul understood one truth. He understood that he was going to stand before God and give an account for his ministry. Don't miss that. You and I, who are Christians, have been reconciled to God. We are going to give an account for our ministry, for how we have conducted ourselves as a Christian, how we have been involved in the ministry God would have us to be involved in. That's important, folks. You know, sometimes I think we get a little confused, and We have a number of different ministries. We'll do things like hand out food, and we have building ministries. We have administration ministries. We have all these different ministries. And we think that the goal of those is just to hand out food. Well, the goal of that is just to do benevolence for people who are in trouble. Those are good goals. Those are right goals. But they are never, ever the primary goal of the ministry of the church. We're always looking to persuade people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want people to hear about Jesus. Number one, truth. That must be a guiding, must be a GPS point that we live by, is knowing the fear of the Lord. We persuade others. Number two, for the love of Christ controls us. You know, every time we talk about persuading people, and we make that point, I know what happens in our minds because I hear it. I hear it in Bible classes. I hear it in conversation. Right away we go, oh, we like this persuading thing. And so, because what happens is we think about the politician who is the stereotypical politician who does what he does only for power. We think about the stereotypical car salesman who does what he does only for money. We think about the stereotypical braggart who does what he does only for his own ego. But Paul is very clear here that that's not what compels us as Christians. We as Christians are compelled, we're controlled by what? The love of Christ. That's what controls us. That's what propels us. That's what pushes us on to fulfill our ministry. That's what will push us on in 2025 to do the ministry that the elders have carefully set out and are trying to get us to be involved in as a congregation this year. The love of Christ must always compel us. Next. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, from time to time, you'll hear an announcement made. And that announcement says something like this. It says, next week, we want all the deacons and ministry leaders to stay after services and have a meeting with Dave and Alan so that we can talk about what's going on in your different ministries and how we're doing. We just have these check-in meetings. And so all of you, when you hear that meeting, when you hear about that meeting, you're sitting out there, you're going, wait a minute, am I a deacon or a ministry leader? Some of you are going, oh man, I got to stay after next week and have that, and go to that meeting. But there's a bunch of us out here, they're going, wait a minute, I'm not a deacon. I'm not a ministry leader. Woohoo! I'm going to get to the Chinese buffet before the crowds get there next week. I'm going to be held up. But folks, that's not the concept that Paul had. That's not the concept that the church in the first century had. The first century Christians understood that when they were reconciled to God, when they believed the gospel, when they put their faith and trust in Jesus, and they were obedient to that gospel by repenting of their sins, confessing their faith in him, being buried with him in baptism, raised anew, and they're reconciled to God, what happened? God gave them a ministry. Everyone who has been reconciled to God has a ministry, brothers and sisters. Everyone. Ministry of reconciliation. Question is, how are you feeling that ministry? In 2025, Dave and I want to make sure that you have a pathway to easily fill that ministry. You know, a lot of times preachers will lay and often, you know, I've been guilty. A lot of times preachers will lay an awful lot of guilt on us. Like, you've got to teach the gospel. You've got to go out there and be evangelistic. Yeah. But we never give you pathways to do that. We're going to give you pathways this year. We're going to suggest pathways so that you can just sit back and decide whether you want to walk down that path or not. Gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal. It's the fourth truth. It's the fourth GPS coordinate that'll keep us on the right path. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. I have a daughter-in-law, love her to death. She's fantastic. Fantastic lady. Her name's Carrie. And she is working right now as a diplomat in the embassy, the United States Embassy, in Denver. And in some of the conversations that we have had, she told me that, you know, some of her responsibilities are that she has to attend these formal dinner parties, and she attends formal dinners. And during those times when she's in these formal dinner parties and formal dinners, there are other diplomats from other countries who are there. And there are also leaders from around the world who are there. And so she's brushing elbows with all these people and having conversations with them. And she has to be very careful about what she says, who she says it to, and how she says it. She's very careful about her words and that she's speaking and saying the right thing to these people. We are ambassadors for Christ, Paul says. That is a truth of my ministry. We need to be very careful. We need to be aware of the words we are saying to other people. Say words that lift people up. Say words that lift up the church. Say words that lift up your brothers and sisters in Christ. Say words above all that lift up the sacrifice of Jesus. Be careful about you. We are ambassadors for Christ, folks. God's making his appeal to that person you're talking to. He's making his appeal to them through you. All right? Wow. That kind of puts a little bit of weight on it, doesn't it? That's the four hallmarks, four truths. You know, I suspect that when you heard that the theme for this year is like the rock, among some of us, I'm sure we thought, man, that's good. Finally, we're getting out of this prayer and discipleship and fellowship and spiritual conversations. We're getting past all that and we're doing what we ought to do. We're going to go out and start evangelizing. We're going to light the rock. You thought, that's great. Let's get the gospel meeting started and let's bring in some really great speakers and let's take out an ad in the newspaper, big ad, so everybody see. Let's get a door knocking campaign going so we can knock on doors down in Glen Rock. And let's get Jeffrey down. Jeffrey's our evangelist. Let's get him down there and get him teaching Bible studies and converting people down in Glen Rock, right? You know, all these things come to your mind. And if that's what's running through your mind, welcome to the top row of bleachers with the old guys. Folks, to some degree, the game has changed. That's better to say it's evolved. And some of us would say it's evolved for the better. I would be among those. I believe that evangelism has evolved through the years based on changes in their societal pattern, changes on our society. And it has evolved to a much more biblical way of doing evangelism. That's discipleship. Building relationships. Right? 2025, that's going to be our emphasis. Building those relationships. We want to start having relationships with people and build interactions with people. We want to be able to go into Glen Rock and we want to have conversations people, just casual conversations. And those casual conversations, as we get to know the people better, and as we interact, we know that maybe some of those conversations will become special conversations, serious conversations. And from there, we can turn them to spiritual conversations. And from spiritual conversations, we go to Bible study. Bible study, we move into discipleship and people being converted to Jesus Christ, becoming disciples of Jesus. There's a pathway that we follow. But it begins with these casual conversations in Glen Rock. And that's what Dave and I want to emphasize this year. Let's talk a little bit about that. And Like the Rock is the theme. I am convinced if we do this well as a congregation, if we light the rock well, we can lay a foundation for evangelism, for people coming to Jesus that will last years and decades if we do it well. So how do we do it well? First of all, we're going to light the rock with prayer. You see, way back in 2018 and 2019, when we first started talking about having the 2030 goal, we knew prayer would become essential. So year one was prayer. We studied it. We thought about it. We worked with prayer. We improved our prayer life. It's going to really become important this year. We want to bathe the Glen Rock, the town of Glen Rock, and the people in prayer. How are we going to do that? Just say, oh, just pray for Glen Rock. We're going to do a couple things that are a little more pointed than that. One of the things I think in the very near future, you're going to hear of weekly topics. Maybe you'll be praying for the mayor of Glen Rock. Maybe you'll be praying for the Little League coach of the baseball team in Glen Rock. Maybe you'll be praying for one of the businesses in Glen Rock. You know, it's just something that's going on in Glen Rock that just needs some prayer. And we're going to pass those on. And what we're going to ask is that every day of the week, you will stop at a certain time. Let's just say it's lunchtime. Say 12 noon, you get your phone out, you set an alarm on this phone here so that 12 noon, that phone rings. You go, I gotta stop and pray. I gotta stop and pray for Glen Rock. Can you imagine the impact God will feel when this congregation, 50, 75, 100 of us, stop at one time? We pray about that one issue. We take that to our Heavenly Father's throne. Oh, some of you may be in Hanover. Some of you may be down in Baltimore. Some of you may be over in Red Lion and in Dallas Town. Some of you may be right here in this area. But it doesn't matter where the body of Christ is. Our prayers are going to be at one place, at one time, for one issue. We're going to bathe Glen Rock in prayer. You also probably hear some things about prayer walks and some of the ways that we can pray for Glen Rock during the year. Secondly, we're gonna light the rock with truth. Folks, there's no gimmicks here. There's not a single gimmick. And we are not interested in any way, shape, or form in compromising the truth in order to gain friends or winning influence in Glen Rock. But I'm convinced we bathe it in prayer and we stay true to the Word of God, true to our understandings, true to our Heavenly Father, that we can bathe, we can light the rock with truth as well. Third, we're going to light the rock with service. Six, 7 years ago, we started talking about the Vision 2030. A group of the leaders sat around. We said, you know what? Some of the leaders had gone down and talked to people down in Glen Rock and stuff. They really didn't know very much about the Glen Rock Church of Christ. They didn't know who we were. They go, oh yeah, that building out there on the left, right before Sticks Crossroads. I've seen that building. That's really all they knew about us. And we decided way back then that that had to change. And so that's why we started looking for 2025, like the rock, going into Glen Rock. We aim to change that. But you know, back then, we really weren't known very well. And I don't think most of us knew Glen Rock. Glen Rock for a lot of us is, you know, Glen Rock is that town that we go through on the way to church. Glen Rock is that town we go through on the way to York. Glen Rock is that town. It's down that way. Right? We want to change that this year. We really want to change. We want to go and serve Glen Rock. Since those early years, some amazing things have happened. Just amazing. And we have Tom and Brenda Diamond who have taken our outreach program. And they, I don't see Tom and Brenda. Are you here today? I don't see Tom and Brenda. Oh, there's Brenda. Okay. And they have done some amazing things. And Tom and Brenda have made inroads into Glen Rock in ways that we just hardly can imagine. They've been fantastic. Them and the people who work with them. And it's fantastic. And we also have Brad and Laurie Bull who have worked tirelessly the beautification of Glen Rock. They know people. They have introduced themselves and introduced the church. And on those beautification projects, there's a lot of church, Glen Rock Church of Christ t-shirts that you'll see around the town down there, working and helping the town down, serving the town. We want to increase that. We want to support what they do, and we want to increase that. We're going to light the rock with service. We're going to light the rock with love. Say, wait a minute, Alan. You already covered that, right? In the scripture, the love of Christ controls us. Goodness, excuse me. Folks, love is an action. In 2025, we want to give you a chance to put love into action. Here's what Dave and I are suggesting for you. Will you love enough to go out of your way? Will you love enough to bend your comfort zone a little bit? Will you love people enough to reach out to them and go to them rather than ask them to come to you? Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Once a week, sisters, some brothers sometimes, I'm sure brothers do this as well. Once a week we go to our hamper in our house, take the dirty clothes out, put them in a laundry basket. We walk several steps to our washing machine, wash the clothes, take them out of there, put them in the dryer right next to it, take them out of there, fold them, walk a few steps, put them back in our dressers in our bedrooms. Will you love people enough to take that basket of dirty clothes and instead of taking it to your washing machine, will you take it to your car? Will you drive to Glen Rock? Will you go to the laundromat there? Yes, spend a couple extra bucks to do laundry that you wouldn't have had to spend otherwise. Yes, spend a little bit more time, but you go for the purpose of meeting people in Glen Rock who are also there doing their laundry. You're not there to do laundry. You're there to meet people. You just have to do some laundry in order to do that. Will you love enough to do that? Will you love enough to, when you want pizza for supper, will you love enough to drive past your Papa John's? Will you love enough to drive past your local Domino's Pizza and drive to Glen Rock? And get pizza and go into that shop, learn the owner's name, whoever's in there, the waitress's name, learn the owner's name, compliment him about his business, how much you appreciate him, mention that, you know, hey, we worship over here at Glen Rock. It's great church. Great church. Can you imagine the impact this congregation will have if week after week we have people, we have person after person going into these places of businesses and being involved in the things that are going on down in that town, maybe going to the library if it reopens and, you know, things like that. And time after time they hear, yeah, I worship the Glen Rock Church of Christ. We love that you're here. We love Glen Rock. We're so glad to be able to be here. We're glad what you do. You know what? That's a great place to worship up there. We really enjoy it. You're welcome anytime. And start those casual conversations that turn into significant conversations, that turn into spiritual conversations, that turn into Bible studies, that turn into disciples being made. That's like the Rock 2025. You know, there's really, John, one question is whether or not you'll be involved, you know, whether or not you love enough to do this. It'll make a big difference if we do. The couple of old guys that were up on the bleachers, they knew the game had changed. They knew the game had evolved. But here's the important thing, folks. The thing both of those old guys knew for sure is that the basics of the game hadn't changed. They knew that the team that put the ball in the bucket more often than the other team won the game. Didn't change. They knew that there was two basic strategies. Every team had to have a good offense. That when they had the ball and they were down their end of the court, they had to have plays and plans on exactly how they were going to put that ball in the bucket. And when they didn't have the ball and they were down the other end of the court, they had to have a defensive strategy. And that defensive strategy was specifically set up to make sure that the other team found it very difficult to put the ball in the bucket. Folks, evangelism is the same way. I know that it has evolved. And the things we're talking about this morning are a little different than what we've heard, what we've done in the past. But folks, the fundamentals are still the same. Jesus Christ died for people's sins. He died so our sins could be forgiven. We could have a relationship restored to God. Hasn't changed. Vision 2025 is designed specifically to help as many people as possible hear about that truth. We hope you'll be involved. We hope you will be an ambassador. We hope you will be ambassador as if God was making his appeal through you. Maybe through prayer. It may be through truth. It may be through some service you can give. Just going into Glen Rock and loving the people. Let's light the rock.
You'll bear with me for just a few minutes. I have a few things I'd like to share. So you may find some of them to be a little redundant, and that way you'll know that Alan and I are both committed to this. We're united in this concept. We believe in it. And if you come back and tell me, hey, that, you know, that's the same thing Alan said, that's a good thing. And that way we know that you listen to both of us. So as we think about knowing Glen Rock, And why Glen Rock? One, it's a town that's close to us. We're known as the Glen Rock Churches of Christ. The people that began this congregation had that in mind. Why Glen Rock? It's because it's filled with souls. It's people. It's a borough council. Some of you even have to send, I think, 1% there in your taxes. But Brad, if you could show us photos, Glen Rock has more nights and more people per year than they do in the Christmas Eve night when they go in and see the carolers and people come from far and wide. Some of you are there, but also that we know Glen Rock is by being there. And being there for services of work on the beautification week and catering to their businesses. And so it's important for us to know Glen Rock and be there and be involved. And it will require sacrifice of your time, convenience, not so much dollars. That, there may be some of that, but really it's more what we're asking for you being willing to give up one of your most valuable assets, which is your time. Because there's only 24 hours in every day, 7 days a week. And so something that, how you use your time may change. And as Alan has mentioned, you know, we began this 2030 vision with prayer and fellowship and discipleship and spiritual conversations. And now this year, light the rock. You'll see the stars from the spiritual conversations are down. It doesn't mean that, oh, we're all done with that. No, it's a building block. We're looking for all of us to continue to build relationships with the people that we've spoken to have second and third and repeat conversations with them, because we're convinced that the most effective way to bring people to Christ today is through relationships. And those relationships are built in many ways, and you've started some of those already. Or it's a relationship that you've had most of your life, but what you've just started is to have that relationship include a conversation on spiritual things. And as Alan read in the 1 Corinthians 5 passage, we're to be ambassadors on behalf of Christ. And the ambassadors serve those and speak for those and reflect those that they represent, which is we represent Christ. And we believe that if we know Glen Rock, they'll come to know us. And who are we, Brad? This is the individuals, but who we are is the ambassadors for Christ. Who we are is disciples of Christ. Who we are people that have a responsibility to share the great joys and privileges and promises, and not just promises, the guarantees that we have of salvation through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ and His Spirit that lives within us. That is Christ or God's seal that says you're now one of my children. You're one of my ambassadors. You're actually a royal priesthood, fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. So as we look to Scripture for direction, and one other thing that I think about as we're going to go and take on this new initiative, not that we're abandoning your friends and relatives that you've already been speaking to and that you love and you want to share how to become a disciple and save child of God. We're not giving up on that, but where we do want to have a concentrated, coordinated effort as a congregation into the borough of Glen Rock. You're speaking to your neighbor, keep talking to them. You know, it's not just because they don't live in Glen Rock, but we do think it's wise to have an area of concentrated effort. And as we look at the direction that comes from Scripture, another, you know, passage that when we think of light, says, "You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that you may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." This, how do we become light to the world? We reflect the light of Christ as His ambassador. And as I look toward the actual specifics there, you know, where it begins later in that the passage in verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works." If it just stops there, it sounds like it's all about us and that we're all puffed up and, oh, you know, look at me. Look at my light shine. Look at all the good things I'm doing. That's not where that passage stops. It's not even the end of the sentence. Why do we do that? In order to give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In order to give glory to our Father who is in heaven. That's why we do it. That's our motivation. And we need people that we are around and talking to and may see a good work and want to thank us for it. Our reply is who we're doing it for. We're doing it to give glory to our Father who is in heaven. As we go into Glen Rock, one thing that we're going to find is that we're going to interface with people that are different from us, whether it's social, economic differences, you know, a streak of green hair, tattoos from every visible portion of their skin, facial piercings. They will be different than I am, you know, but they're the same because Jesus loves them too. He came to this world to save them too. He hung on the cross to save them too. And he is calling some of them. And he knows that you are able, through his power, to speak about the love of Jesus to them. It needs to be a resolve among each of us. We're individuals in our different ways, but we can each tell our story. When we hear people talking about their needs and hurts and whatnot, we can tell them Jesus has got an answer to that. Not that when we become his disciple, all life is wonderful, but that we've got the confidence that the pain of this earth is lessened while we're here because we have the promise of eternal life with Jesus where there is no more pain, there is no more tears, and it helps us through the difficult times. So we're convinced one of the most effective ways to evangelize people and bring them to Christ is through relationships. And in going into Glen Rock and rubbing shoulders with people there instead of just driving through, that you will build relationships. And I know some of that is already happening. I hear you talk about it, whether it's through the food pantry or that you've already engaged someone into just sitting down and say, well, let's see what the Bible says about the answers to your questions. It's already going on. Our prayer and conviction is that more and more and more of us can be involved in that and that each of us can do our part. And as we look at, you know, if we know Glen Rock, Glen Rock will know us. Glen Rock will know us. And one thing that Jesus talked about as he prays, and certainly that's who we always want to look to. Jesus talked about praying for laborers to go into his harvest. The harvest may be when you invite your friend here to come and get exposed to biblical truth during our worship, but the bulk of the harvest is out there. This, you know, we often think about kind of coming together as a team and, hey, this is where we strategize, this is where we encourage. But the bulk of the game, the harvest, is in the rest of the week. I pray that we can all be committed to that, building relationships, looking to serve the needs of others, let them know they're loved by you and our Lord. So that's my message for today. As I said, it's just a short compliment to some of the things that Alan said, and you're going to hear a lot about being ambassadors. We're going to hear a lot about building on our spiritual conversations and moving them from casual, meaningful, spiritual to let's look in God's Word for some of these answers to our hurts and needs. And some of you may have come here today in a dark place, not where it's filled with the light of God. You may know that you've done things that you know are the opposite of what God wants you to do. And because of that, you need to repent and come to Him to be saved. And that only He can provide that. If you have a desire to talk to someone about that, talk about this dark place you're in and how you can get out and how you can come to the light, you can come forward as we sing. There'll be someone available to talk to you here on the front row, or there are also people in the back. If you just want to have a private person with one hand, Shane and Becky are in the back corner, and they'd be glad to talk to you about whatever's on your heart. But we don't want anybody to stay in that dark place. We want everybody to not be fearful of the end, fearful of tomorrow, not be hoping that I'm good enough to be in heaven, but to know that you are because Christ is good enough to redeem you. And God loves you and wants you to be one of His for the rest of your life. So let's stand and sing, and anyone that needs to respond, please do so.